Praise God. Well, I've got some things on my heart tonight that it just seemed good to speak on this evening. And the title of my message is Be Spirit-Led Instead. Do they have that up there? Isn't that great? They do such a good job too, the communications department. You feel like you could walk down that road next to that pond. I'm not going to try. I've got work to do, but spirit-led instead. That phrase just dropped in my heart not too long ago, in not bothering to seek the Lord about some stuff that I was, dealing with, trying to figure some stuff out. And I don't know if you do this kind of stuff, but like in my head, I was even playing out the conversations, the things I'll just do this. And then I'm going to do this, and this will take care of that, and I can do this thing, and it'll take care of that. And I'm like, no, that won't work. And so I'm just running down, because we all have knowledge in the natural. We've all got some wisdom and some knowledge about some things. And so I'm just rolling through what I know and convincing myself that I've got the right idea. And then right on the inside, I heard, why not be led instead? And I thought, well, that's helpful. Why not be led instead? Amen. All the time, like every day, we're all pulled in different directions. Just in the last few days, the number of people who have talked to me about their trying to figure out what they're going to do, next steps. Some of them students. Where am I going to go? Am I going to stick around another year? Am I going to move away? But trying to figure it out. And, you know, processing, but there's all kinds of things that pull on us. There are things that pull on us now that, you know, we didn't have the pull of. I didn't grow up with the internet. I remember when the internet first came out, like when it was actually made public. Originally, the military used that technology, and then eventually it came to us. Lots of people, first time on the internet, they went on AOL and they could hear their modem. It said up to 56K modem speed, but everybody was running at about 28 is what you were running at. I remember the internet back then, but before that, we didn't have the internet. My dad was so pleased with himself that he bought us a set of encyclopedias, and he would get the yearbook at the end of the year that would update anything new that would happen. That was the biggest part of the knowledge that you had. You got from an encyclopedia, you went to a library, you asked somebody, and if you didn't know somebody, what were you going to do? But now there are all these places where we can get information. And when we're trying to make decisions, we can be pulled by pressure. You know, there's no shortage of people in our lives who want to help us make decisions, that are willing to give us advice, even if it's unsolicited. Right? Just as a way of helping everybody, typically unsolicited advice is also unwanted. Just so we're all clear. But we can be pulled by opinions. Everybody's got an opinion about something. I had a guy one time tell me a bunch of stuff that I needed. The first church I ever pastored, a lot of stuff that I needed to have at my church. Well, you know, you need a food pantry. And this guy said, you need a food pantry, and you don't even have to worry about the meat that you can give to people. He said, I kill so many deer that I'll donate all the meat. And I thought, brother, if you knew how little I eat deer meat, and I shoot it myself, lots of people would rather have a beefsteak than your deer meat. But he was convinced I needed one. Not that he needed to start one, that I needed to. Well, you know, looking back, what if I would have done that? Just because he thought it was a good idea that I did. There's no shortage of good ideas. Lots of people have lots of opinions, and there are lots of good ideas. You know what? That was weak. I know. There are lots of good ideas. But good ideas don't make them God ideas. And it doesn't mean that they're the idea for us, right? You can get pulled by opportunity. I've had people leave my church and tell me they were going to go do something because an opportunity presented itself somewhere else. They didn't look to see if there was a good church where they were going. They didn't look at anything else other than the opportunity. Didn't pray about it, not one second. Just said, man, this opportunity came up. Well, just because there's opportunity doesn't mean it's a leading of the Lord. Amen. You can get pulled by emotions. There was a time I got pulled by my emotions. Somebody needed something. I'll never forget this. It helped me so much with regard to understanding that my finances are not my own. They're my seed. They're, you know, God is my provider, not my job. Amen. Testing, 1, 2. God's my provider, not my job. Well, somebody pulled on me emotionally one time, and I gave them some money to help them. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, in with that regard, they needed it. I had some money. I gave it. But it wasn't too long after that, the Lord directed me that he wanted me to give to someone. And I said, well, Lord, if you'll bring it in, I'll give it. Because I didn't have the extra at that point. And he said, well, what'd you do with... And he named that money. Well, I gave it away. But it was not something he had told me to do with it. There's a lot of places you can give. Amen. Where are my people at, Sarah? There are a lot of places you can give. But that doesn't mean we ought to give to every one of them. What if we would be led instead? What if our resources were put into the places that we were led to put the resources instead of just putting them on everything that we thought might be a good idea? Amen. If we allow ourselves to be taken down that path, if we make decisions based on any of those other things, we are being led. The question is never, are you being led? The question is, what's leading me? What am I being led by? You're being led by something right now. In your life, in my life, we're all being led by something. But the question is, what am I allowing myself to be led by? Because you can be led by fear. You can be led by logic. Led by what looks good. Some people are led by money. Here's an interesting thought. Had the Lord just drop this in my heart one time. If the enemy ever finds something that you can be led by, then it's no mystery what he'll use to lead you in the direction that he wants to take you in. Whatever that thing is, rather than being spirit-led instead, if we're led by money, if somehow the enemy finds out that your life is led by money, well, all he's got to do to get you in positions where he wants you is drop a little bit of finances in your direction to lead you down that path. You know, if you put your whole stock or your whole life, if you're a person who's single and you want to be married and you make that the thing that every decision, I run it through the lens of, will this lead me into a relationship? Well, the enemy will use relationship against you to drag you down any path that he wants, as long as that's what we're allowing ourselves to be led by. Right? If we allow ourselves to be led by fear, which is a lousy thing to be led by, if we allow ourselves to be led by fear, well, the enemy will always use fear to get us off track and get us off course. Because if he can get us afraid of something, then he'll lead us down paths opposite of where God may want to take us. But what if we'd be spirit-led instead? Our lives will rise and fall on this truth. Whatever's leading us will determine our outcomes. Whatever we allow to lead us, it won't be any mystery where we end up if we know what's leading us. Isn't that right? Here's my main text tonight, Romans 8:14. I know you know this scripture. I'm reading it from the New King James Version. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice it doesn't say as many as are talented or are connected or as many as are educated. It says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. People that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That word itself, it means the maturing ones. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the maturing ones. The ones that are growing up, the ones that are moving to another level are the ones that have determined that the only thing that they're going to allow to lead them is the Spirit. To follow where God says to go. To know and hear His voice. And if we can do that, how many of you know we miss it? I miss it. I've missed it a lot of times. And when I miss it, God is always gracious to get me back on track. But, you know, if you never missed it, if we would take the time to hear from God and then obey every time that God led us to do something, we would never fail. Unless you can fail following God. If I made a decision that before I was going to make a decision to go down any path, that I'm going to hear from the Lord and get the direction of the Lord on where I'm going, that it certainly doesn't negate knowledge or wisdom, but just because we know some things doesn't always mean that that's the right thing to do. Amen. If you study the context of what Paul says there, he's making a larger point. If you back up one verse to Romans 8:13, he says this. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So he says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Then he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That word for means that he's explaining what he just said. So being led by the Spirit is directly connected to putting to death the deeds of the body. What does that mean? It means, well, your flesh has a desire. Your body, I mean, I know mine does. It's gotten me into some awful messes. Eating way more than I oughta. Your body has an appetite and a desire. And the fact of the matter is, your body's only got one shot at this. It's got a voice. There's a desire. Your flesh wants to pull you down past because your flesh, its days are numbered. This corrupt body, one of these days will put on a glorified body. I was in 2 Corinthians class talking about that today. You'll put on a glorified body, and this body right here, this goes away. All of its appetites and all of its desires, it won't be here anymore. So it's got one shot at this. You think it's not going to raise a stink and try to do a few things while you're here on this earth? The scripture says you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. Isn't that right? Because your body has an appetite, the devil tries to do things, the enemy comes at us to try to work our body to get us to move in a direction being led by this old dead flesh. But the real man or the real woman that's on the inside, glory to God, the one that is alive unto God, this body is just a vehicle that I'm getting around in. And I'm thankful for it because I need it right now. But one day I'm going to shuck it off and the body that I have, my glorified body, will look a lot better than this one. And my wife already thinks I look good. So we don't want to be led by this old dead flesh. Isn't that right? Especially when we've got a better way. If I'm in the car with you, we're driving down the road and we're trying to determine where we ought to go, how we can get to a particular place, and you've got a GPS in there and a Rand McNally map. Guess which one I'm using? Why would I use the lesser when I could use the greater? Why would I be led by the map when I could have the GPS? Amen? So he said, this truth, being led by the Spirit, isn't just about where we go. Certainly it is about where we go and what we do, but it's not just about those things. It's about how we live. In context, it means to be led by the Spirit is to yield to the Spirit over our flesh. To allow God to speak to our spirits, and we yield to the Spirit rather than the flesh. It means following God's leading instead of impulse. It means choosing His way instead of our feelings. The first place that the Holy Spirit will lead us isn't into a new location. The first place He wants to lead us is into a new lifestyle. He wants us to live our lives differently. And if we'll never allow Him to lead us in stronger character, in being more Christ-like, then we'll never allow Him to lead us other places. So the first thing we do is we determine that, God, this is the place where we consecrate ourselves to not my will, but yours be done, Lord. It's where we say, I would rather do what you want me to do, God, than anything else that I can possibly think of. There's no place that I'd rather be than in your will, doing what you've called me to do. over anything else. And when we do that, the leading and the guiding that we can receive for anything is greatly enhanced. So Paul is saying those who are consistently led by the Spirit in every area of their lives are the ones walking in mature sonship. We have to learn to be Spirit-led instead of flesh-led. Spirit-led instead of emotions-led. Spirit-led instead of impulse-led. Here's my first point. Be Spirit-led instead of being led by externals. Learn to be Spirit-led instead of being led by externals. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path." 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." One of the biggest battles I think that we face is, will I be led by what's happening around me or what God is saying within me? So easy to be led by the things that are happening all around us. I tell the students this all the time. It's easy to get the idea that this natural life that we're living is the greater life because it's the one that we see in the morning. I don't brush my spirit man's teeth in the morning. It's this natural man's face that I'm looking at, right? The hair that I comb is this natural man. So we get this idea that this lesser life somehow is more real. But spiritual things are much more real than natural things because they're longer lasting. This life is just a vapor. At best, you're going to live on average, statistics say, 80 years. You may want to live not till 90. Some people say, I'm going to live till I'm 120. That's fine. Your friends will be gone. But at most, on the average, you're going to live 80 or 90 years. But that's nothing in comparison to what's eternal. Spiritual things are a greater level of living than natural things. External voices are going to be constant. People are going to tell you what to do. Circumstances are going to demand responses. Feelings are going to try to dictate your next move. But the Holy Spirit doesn't shout over those things. He speaks to us in a still, small voice. That's why Proverbs says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't rely on your own understanding to make decisions. Understanding is shaped by what we see, but God leads us based on what He knows. That for me, that's so freeing to understand that if I lead myself out of my own knowledge, I'm so finite. I know so little. But the one who knows so much wants to lead me and guide me. And if I'm trying to make my decisions because I'm like, well, I made one of the dumbest decisions I ever made in buying a house. I bought a house when I was a student. Really, I had no business buying this house. It sat on 3/4 acre in Midtown. I say it was Midtown. It was almost North Tulsa. I was like a block away. It was pretty far over. A long way from school. It sat on 3/4 acre. It was an old house, kind of a fixer-upper. But when I went to look at it, I always wanted my kids to have one of those tire swings. But not the one that's upright where you got to sit in the inside the tire. I wanted the one where the tire is flat and you can have the three chains, you know, like the big dogs have. Sorry, that's humble brag. You know, when you're from Kentucky, what do you got? You know, tire swings. I wanted them to have that kind of tire swing, and there was this huge oak tree. And it had an arm, like a big limb that went out, and I'm like, that's the arm, that's the limb for that swing. I went in the back, and there was an apple tree back there. There was a spot where the garden, you could see the man used to have a garden back there. I loved a garden, vegetables, not flowers. You can't eat flowers. It had a garden spot. It was all these things were like checking off all these things. But in my heart, the whole time, I was getting no, no, no. This isn't the house for you. I bought that thing anyway. And I paid for that house. And I paid for that house. And I paid for that house. I left here, I graduated from Rhema, and I still owned that house. I couldn't sell it. And it's no wonder, because who wanted it? I didn't even want it. You can make a lousy salesman for something if you don't even want it yourself. You're like, what can you tell me about this house? It's wearing me out. That's what I can tell you about it. The only thing that wanted it is while we were gone, we found out the termites liked it. We should have just let them have the whole thing. Unfortunately, I couldn't afford to. I paid for that house for a long time. Well, how am I going to, go back now and I'm going to blame God for it? God, I can't believe you let me get in that deal like that. That's dirty to put me in a house like that. Lord, why would you pull a stunt like that on me? But all the while, he's telling me, no, don't do this. This is not the one for you. You don't want to do that. What did I do? I overrode every check that I had, because in the natural, it was checking off a lot of boxes. We don't want to do things just because our lack of knowledge about things. God knew things about that place I didn't know. He knew that the garage, this is a true story. Hurts me, it pains me to tell y'all. The garage was on bricks, the walls. The foundation was red bricks. The person had dug a trench, stuck bricks in it, built walls on it, and scooted the dirt back up against it, and poured a concrete slab inside the bricks. You think the Holy Ghost didn't know that? You think God was caught off guard? You think he spoke to my heart? You know, when I say that the Lord spoke to me, I don't mean in an audible voice, just on the inside. You think he spoke to my heart and said, man, I didn't see that coming. What I didn't know, I didn't need to know. All I needed was that he said this was not the place. And I overrode it. Well, I can't blame him for that. I was looking at natural things, right? We're not to lean on our own understanding. When everything around us is saying, move now, do something, fix it, we can't allow ourselves to be led by those things. Okay, they said you got to act now. If it's now, it ought to be no. If somebody tells you, you got to act right now, and you don't get an opportunity to pray about it, they're like, you got to act fast, because this car right here, it's moving. It'll be gone tomorrow. Well, if it's gone tomorrow, God is bigger than that one car. It just ain't mine. If I can't pray about it, that's not my car. Right? Why? Because is God able to bring another one around? And if I miss it, if maybe the Lord was, he wanted me to go in that direction and I didn't go, wouldn't you rather be, what as Brother Hagin used to say, 2 steps behind the Lord than 2 steps out in front of him? If we're 2 steps out in front of the Lord, guess who's leading? It's not him. So if it's now, if you high pressure me, that's the last thing you ought to do. You call me and you try to high pressure me. You try to put me in a situation where I got to act fast. I won't act fast. Well, I will. I'll say no real quick. But I'm not going to make a decision to make a purchase, to go in a direction if I can't get, you can get hurt that way. Allowing yourself to be led by externals can put us in positions where we can get harmed, where we make rash decisions. I'll tell you another one. I was getting ready to book a ticket. I was working for the federal government, and you could book your own flights. And I was going to book a ticket, and I had two options. I could go through. The tickets cost the same, and I wasn't paying for them anyway. You were. I worked for the government. That was a joke. That's all right. I could have gone both. Either way was the same price. And so one of them had a layover in a state that I had been to before, and the other one had a layover in Colorado, which I have never been to. And I thought, it would be nice to see Colorado and see the mountains, and maybe I'll take that one. And when I got ready to select the ticket, I got a check. And so I was like, well, I don't have to get my tickets today. I'll just put it to the side. I'll come back to it tomorrow or something. I had a little bit of time. I came back to it the next day. I really wanted to go through Colorado. And so I went to pick that same ticket. Still there, same price. I got ready to click it, and I just got a check. I did that 3 or 4 days. I finally was just like, all right, I'll go the other way. So I went the other way. I still haven't seen Colorado. Some people ask me when I tell that story, they're like, well, what happened? Did the plane crash? I don't know what happened. And sometimes that's wonderful. So, I mean, it could have been as simple as a delay that would have caused me to miss my other flight and kept me from getting to my final destination like I needed to when I needed to. I don't know what it was, but it doesn't matter. I got a check about it. And if I would have overrode that, there could have been something that... And oftentimes what happens is we make rash decisions and then we blame God for stuff. We say, I can't believe you let that happen to me. I heard a guy tell a story one time about someone who called the prayer lines here, and they were crying. They were just bawling. They said, I got mugged today. This is terrible. I don't understand it. I quote the 91st Psalm every day. Every day I quote the 91st Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Say to the Lord, He's my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Surely He'll deliver me from the snare. Oh, I thought I should be protected. When the guy finally got him to calm down and started talking to him, started asking some questions, because they're blaming God. I can't believe God let this happen to me. I pray the 91st Psalm every day. I dwell in a secret place. The person said, Sister, let me ask you something. He said, was there anything different about today than normal? And she said, well, yeah. She said, I was running late this morning, so I decided to take a different route than I normally take. And she said, I don't usually go that way because it's kind of a bad neighborhood. And he's like, Sister, he said, let me ask you this. When you were making your decision this morning, did you have any type of thought about maybe I shouldn't do? She said, well, there was. I had a little bit of an idea. Maybe this isn't the best idea to go that way. Maybe I'll just be late. And he said, there's your answer. The Lord leads you on the inside. You know, sometimes we're waiting for these flashing lights out here, but we can't blame God when things like that happen in our lives, when we're overriding every check that the Lord is giving us. Don't do this thing. Don't go to this place. Don't make that decision. And we end up in a bad decision. Amen. Oh man, it's 7:55. Glory to God. So my first point is this: be led by the Spirit of God instead of being led by externals. Here's my second point: be led by the Spirit. Be Spirit led instead of needing everything to make sense. You know, everything doesn't have to make sense to our natural mind in order for us to make a decision. Some of the oddest things. I don't have time to go through all of it, but if you look at 2 Kings 5, you remember the story about Naaman. It says that, you know, Naaman, he had heard that there was a prophet in Israel. He goes and he's got loaded down with money and expectation. He goes, he's going to hear about from the prophet what he needs to do because he's got leprosy. In 2 Kings 5:10-11, it says, Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. But Naaman became furious. He became furious. Here you are. You say, I'm going to go over here because there's a prophet in Israel and I know that he hears from God. Right? And this is an Old Testament story. These are people who had the Spirit come upon them. We're people who have the Spirit of God within us. If they can hear from God then, how much more you and I, with the Spirit of God on the inside of us, can we and ought to hear what God is saying to us? But Naaman hears from the prophet and he says, aren't there better rivers back home? He's basically saying, this doesn't make any sense. We got good water back home, better water than this back home. That's where a lot of people miss it. Because it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. They say, well, isn't there, man, I don't have to go there. I can go over here. I always go to this place. I eat over there every day. They got a better lunch special. But for some reason, you're getting something else on the inside of you. You don't know the wreck you missed. You don't know the traffic you missed. You don't know those things. All you know is it didn't make sense to you. But if you hear it on the inside, tell you one more quick story, and then I'm going to have to shut it down. But we're going to keep talking about this. Sometime. I'll be back. If you'll come back, I'll come back. So, same type of scenario. Here I am. This happened to me, not some other person. This is me. Rob Betts, pastoral staff at Rhema Bible Church, Rhema Bible Training College instructor, Rob Betts. And I'm in my second year here. Not now. I've been here longer than that now. But I was in my second year here on staff, and I started having some eye thing going on. You remember when I had that thing going on with my eye? I had this eye thing going on. I even went in one day. Pastor Bill prayed with me about it. And I was trying to, I'm like, I'm going to believe God and get past this thing. It was a weird thing. My eye, lots of extra pressure in it. It's kind of comical now. It was popping out so bad, you could tell that it was getting bigger. And Sarah, we were at lunch, and she said, your eye is really sticking out quite a bit. And I was like, my eyes are big, you know that. You know, I was just trying to blow it off. But I looked at it in the mirror. It was pretty bad. I was going to believe God and just go past this. I just kept going to work. I just kept doing everything. I just kept confessing. But on the inside, I knew the Lord was speaking to me. And for days, I just kept this up. For many days. Finally, I'm at the house and I'm praying and I got quiet. And I just heard the Lord as definitive as I've ever heard him. Go to the doctor. That's what I heard. So I made an appointment and I went to the doctor. And when I got there, the doctor said, sir, if you wouldn't have come to us, the pressure in your eye was the kind of pressure that leads to blindness. Sometimes people want to stay at the house and believe God when they won't even listen to him. And he's saying, go to the doctor. He knows things we don't. And if we'll listen to him, he'll save us a whole world of trouble. You say, what happened with that now? I'm doing real good now. Glory to God. We've gotten past it. We got the victory. And no shame in having to go to the doctor. It's what the Lord said to do. I went. He knew what it was. It got fixed. It's all over and done with. But I could have been standing up here, one eye, unable to see you, having to believe God for a miracle instead of being in here and hearing from the Holy Ghost and getting this taken care of like I did. What if, when we've got a situation in our lives and we're dealing with something and we're getting ready to make a decision, we hadn't even prayed about it yet. What if we decided we're going to be led instead? Amen. Let me pray for you tonight. We'll close down. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I gave what I had on my heart tonight, Lord, and I believe that it ministered to the hearers. I believe that there's some people here who maybe were dealing with things that maybe they'll check their own heart now. They've been looking for direction, answers. But Lord, they'll make the little switch, make a decision that they're going to spend some time in your presence to hear from you before they make hard or tough or difficult or impactful life decisions. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the seal of promise on the inside to lead and guide and direct us. We thank you for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, but also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for ministering to the hearts of men and women tonight. Whatever it is that they need from you, Lord, they wouldn't leave here without taking a hold of it by faith. I give you praise and glory for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're watching online or if you're in this room right now and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, our altar care workers are coming down now. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're online. The scripture tells us whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus died for your sins the same as he died for mine. And all he asks us is to believe on him and to accept him. Make a decision that you say, I can't do it on my own. I need him in my life. And if you'll do that and you'll pray that prayer in earnest, you can receive Christ right where you're at, wherever you're at. If you're in this building and you need somebody to pray with you, you can come down here when we dismiss tonight. If you need prayer for anything, if you need to be born again, if you need a no-so experience, you say, God never turned his back on me, but maybe you turned your back on him, but you need to rededicate your life. Don't leave here without accepting Jesus as your Savior, making sure that you know that your eternal home is in heaven. Or you might be here and you say, well, I am born again and I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, but I've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You might be like, I've never been one of those tongue talkers. Some people say that. He said, I'm not a tongue talker, really. I went to a different type of church. Well, you're on the parking lot tonight. People saw your car. They think you're one of us. Might as well get in. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you come down here and they'll pray with you and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's an endowment of power on high. It's a greater measure of the same Holy Spirit that you got, that your seal of promise that you're born again. And if you need that tonight, I want to encourage you to come down here. They'll pray with you and you can receive that. Amen. Guys, we love and appreciate you. Be back here on Sunday. Continue to pray for our pastors. We sure appreciate them as Mrs. Hagin's continuing to heal. Is there anything else, gentlemen? God bless you guys. Have a great evening.